Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Madnin!
Welcome to the India Explained podcast, recorded in London and San Francisco. One take, unscripted, no rehearsal.
Hey, Bhante. Greetings again. Greetings to our listeners as well. So here we are. This is the first set of podcasts for 2019. And one of the stories we'll talk about today is this brouhaha over... Rahul Gandhi using the word pliable. And to me, I mean, I'm sure that most of you are familiar with, the details of it. What happened is that this journalist called Smita Prakash from a channel ANI, and it's a channel which has an interesting and checkered history, let's put it that way, but it's always been close to the BJP. That's no big secret. That's not an accusation. She did an interview with Modi, which, like many interviews or practically every interview with Modi, has been, it was just basically just lobbing softballs, very easy questions. And this is kind of been consistent with, the way Modi was interviewed by Arnab Goswami several years ago. A couple of other facts in the mix. Modi's hardly spoken in parliament. He's never taken a single press conference, in contrast to Manmohan, who ironically was mocked for being mute and called Monmohan and so on. So Rahul Gandhi, came out with a statement. He used the word pliable for journalists. And the journalistic community kind of threw a bit of a fit, saying that this is, that there's something like unethical about the use of this word, which is completely, in my view, just my personal view, absurd. It's a perfectly legitimate word. It's perfectly legitimate criticism. And then there was an statement put out by the Editors Guild, which is headed by Shekhar Gupta, and there's a couple of other people. Sheila Bhatt is a well-known journalist, saying that, we in the, fourth estate or whatever the journalistic world is called, we don't really approve of this kind of language, and, this demonizes journalists on the whole, regardless of the party it comes from. Couple of points. One is that the internal guidelines of the Editors Guild were violated in the articulation of this statement, because there was a lot of pushback internally and people felt that this is not something that warrants a statement at all. And, someone actually shared a statement on the WhatsApp group that the Editors Guild, an informal WhatsApp group, I presume, that they have. And I put it out on our Twitter account, saying that there was a lot of disagreement with Shekhar Gupta's decision to go ahead with this statement or the statement of the powers that be in the Editors Guild. So by no means does the criticism of Rahul Gandhi's use of the word pliable reflect a consensus on the part of the journalistic community. The second part is that, where was the Editors Guild, whether it's Shekhar Gupta or anyone else, all these years when Modi was using words like Bazaru, which, Bazaru literally means someone who sells herself, it's himself, herself, but it's a term that's usually used in the context of a woman. So it's basically calling the media, basically saying that the media is full of people who hold themselves out, unparliamentary diction. Or even the term prostitute, which, this very shady person, VK Singh, this general has very dubious sort of antecedents in terms of, faking his birth date and so on. He's also known to be drunk. He's, there's some sort of talk of him being a lech and then hitting on BJP female members and all. So this man has used the filthiest language. Modi's language in general has been ghastly. Now, I'll turn it over to you in a minute, Bhante. I mean, one can say that just because the BJP indulges in it doesn't mean it's okay for other parties too, which is a valid point too. But the word pliable is a completely and utterly legitimate word to use, in my view, if someone is criticizing what the media had to do.
Well, okay. You've touched on very many different aspects of, use of language, whether it's right or not, use of other words. I will kind of pull it back to the word pliable and the everyday use of pliable in daily life. Have you, Rohit, used pliable in daily life as a word?
Occasionally. It's not a word that I use like all the time, but, I might use it to sort of, describe Someone's attitude, in the sense that if you're, part of a team and someone just gets pushed easily and you wind up getting saddled with a lot of work, which you shouldn't, there is a kind of weak link in your team. And you might say that person tends to be too pliable. So, or if there's a negotiation, that you have to engage in, whether it is with, in the financial realm, or whether it's, a car, you're buying a car or something, then, you tell yourself, and you're just talking and you're discussing it with your spouse, and you just say that, the trick is that we shouldn't be pliable and we should just stand our ground, and the person who can walk away always wins. But it's not something that I use like 5 times a day.
Right. Pliant, have you used the word pliant?
Sure, in the same way, I'd say, nothing beyond that.
Okay. Well, the reason I'm asking you this is, what I wanted to establish is these are not common words that use in day-to-day discussion. Okay, that's number one. And I was trying to think, when have I used the word pliable? I probably haven't. I've used the word pliant to suggest somebody who was kind of very grovelly without provocation, right?
Right.
So that was my summarization. So I was trying to get the idea across that somebody who grovels, when you ask them to jump, they don't say why, they say how high.
Yeah.
So there's a completely kind of blind obedience bordering on fanaticism, and a step down from that is pliancy, right? So basically my read of it is Kim Jong-un, the North Korean tyrant, operates at client plus two, right? Which means that in order to survive in his coterie, pliancy is a given. That's a hygiene condition. You have to demonstrate how pliant you are, right? So, cut back to India as a democracy and journalism in India. Your wider read on this is that it's, I think it was Al Kirbani's phrase on Indira Gandhi's emergency that, when asked to bow, journalists groveled. Is that I'm quoting him correctly, or
I think the media was asked. It crawled when it was asked to bend, right?
Correct. It crawled when asked to bend. Yes, that's the Al Kirbani phrase. Well, look, I think is Rahul Gandhi out of order by calling somebody pliant or pliable?
Not at all, right? Not in my view.
No, and not in my view either, because I don't think the choice of the word is the key issue. It's the quality of the journalism that is the issue, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because is the journalist in question, if Rahul Gandhi was calling an upstanding news organization pliable, there would be correct outrage, would be well directed, saying that, why have you called these group of upright, outstanding journalists pliable? Because that is incorrect. But this is essentially directed at somebody who's like at North Korea level pliable, right? Who kind of grovels at the first opportunity.
Completely. And, it's, I know that, it's easy for us, sitting ensconced in London and San Francisco respectively, to be critical. But the point is that this is a vocation that the person in question, this lady, Miss Smita Prakash, has chosen. If you've chosen to be a journalist, there are certain expectations that come with that. I mean, you are a guardian of, some sense of sort of civic probity. And you're supposed to do your damn job when you interview the prime minister of the country, not like, praise him or sing his praises or go ahead and, just sort of build upon the, lie after lie after lie. That this edifice, that is hagiographic edifice that's been constructed on just, this real mountain of lies, if I may mix metaphors. There's 100 grounds on which questions could have been asked, and even the questions that were asked that did have the potential to be, provocative or interesting or engaging, they were just put forth in this sort of mild, meek way. And when Modi just said, demonetization failed because people were jealous, accept that. I mean, that is just a complete kind of, abdication of doing one's job. And I don't want to sound harsh, but my point is that if you or I or anyone else were given a job to do and we did it with that level of incompetence, I mean, that incompetence would be noted, right? So here it is, that phrase of chori upar se seena zori, that here is someone who, yes, was completely pliable and pliant, and then they are getting reverse aggressive about being called so. So to me, that is, it's just absurd that they should even, feel outraged.
Yeah. I think pliable work has its own advantages and disadvantages. We clearly identified this journalist as being somebody who is a grovelly sort, right? And in our estimation, and as you quite rightly put it, sitting comfortably at a distance in London and San Francisco. But I think it doesn't take away the point that there are a lot of journalists out there who are trying to do a very difficult job for which they are being harassed and put under great duress, yes, and sometimes killed, right?
Absolutely.
So, I think so. This podcast should be an opportunity, firstly, to call out this person who is North Korea plus clients. So not only is she folding over, but she's trying to demonstrate how up somebody's backside thematically the person can go. But also a shout out to people that, you know, there are lots of journalists who are not pliable, who are calling up to power. And India is a healthy democracy for those reasons, and long may that continue.
Absolutely.
And Rahul Gandhi's choice of words, what would be the synonyms? What were the alternative things he could have used? Could he have called this person jelly-like? Could he have called this person saccharine? Could he have called? I'm just trying to think, what would be the words that Rahul Gandhi could have worked with other than pliable in this context?
Whatever he would have done, they would have just, I mean, we've seen this happen that, Manishankar Iyer, who is what he used a perfectly valid phrase saying that Modi Neech Aadmi hai. And the BJP spun it out by saying that because Neech is a word that's historically used in the context of, you know, describing people from certain castes, here isn't the elite sort of, you know, Oxbridge educated Congress, Stevens, Lutyens Congress, out of touch with sons of the soil, poking fun at Modi's caste background. Now, Modi has also spun this elaborate lie about sort of being subaltern, etc., etc. So, no matter what you do, you know, the BJP's sort of attack machine would have gone into the same kind of mode. And the irony is that Modi, Shah themselves can get away with blue murder. They can make rank communal statements, you know. There's another person from the Hindu right, not Modi or Shah, who called Sonia Gandhi, you know, some years ago, Italini Kutri, which means, you know, a bitch from Italy. Let's just put it blankly. And there was, you know, I mean, the BJP and the Hindu right get away with that. And so no matter what Rahul Gandhi would have said, there would have been the same kind of reaction. And it reminds me of, you know, these useless controversies some years ago where I think Shashi Tharoor used the word cattle class. Was it for economy class? And he used it idiomatically. And there was a, you know, controversy over it. And then there was someone else who said that, India, we were unprepared either in the context of some UN discussion or some negotiation. And I think, was it Tharoor again who has a kind of bit of a record of doing this? Because I think he likes to show off his vocabulary of the fact that he's, I call him Shashi Thesaurus, not Tharoor. Maybe it was someone else who just said that, you know, the Indians were running around like a bunch of headless chickens. And that's just, it's just a proverb, right? It's a saying. But again, you know, people got like livid saying that, okay, you're calling us headless chicken and all. So, you know, it's in a language which for, you know, all the time it's been part of Indian life, still has the association of kind of elitism and not being, you know, and being out of touch with the aspirations, sentiments of the masses. And B, it's just that the BJP's propaganda machine is very good at it. So I don't know. He could have just said that, you know, this journalist was not hard-hitting enough or something. But then, there would have been some drama would have definitely been there, is my sense.
Well, look, we've given this word enough attention and time in our little podcast that we can. I think the flip on this podcast for me is that, you know, let's use this podcast and the audience who listens to it to signal that, you know, at the time of the use of the word pliable, there are lots of journalists who would remain non-pliable and are doing their job, questioning a government, its policies, its ministers, and holding them to account, as you call it, civic probity. That's the word that you used. I think that's remarkable. And I think, so that's the positive in it, that India is not North Korea as yet. And that's a good thing. I can't speak for Mr. Gandhi and his choice of words. But, you know, be that, and no matter probably, no matter what word that he would have used, it would have been spun out in one way or the other. Well, look, we've given enough attention to the single word, and I think let's talk about something else. So for this episode, let's wrap this up. Ciao. Take care.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to us. Rohit and Bunty would like to sign off. Please stay tuned. Follow us on India Explained on Twitter. Keep listening. Thank you for all your support.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.